Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Very nice. Better than me. Yat, because of, idam, this, kupa magnayaha, fallen in the well, bhavataha, of your good self, darshanam, meeting, mama, with me, na, not, brahmanah, a qualified Brahman, me, my, bhavita, will become, hastagraha, husband, mahabhuja, O great, mighty armed one, Kachasya of Kacha, Parhashpatyasya, the son of the learned Brahmin and celestial priest Brihaspati, Shapat, because of the curse, Yam, who, Ashapam, I cursed, Pura, in the past. Translation reads as follows. Because of falling in the well, I met you. Indeed, this has been arranged by Providence. After I cursed Kacha, the son of the learned scholar Brihaspati, he cursed me by saying that I would not have a Brahmin for a husband. Therefore, O mighty armed one, there is no possibility of my becoming the wife of a Brahmin. And Prabhupada's commentary reads, Kacha, the son of the learned celestial priest Brihaspati, had been a student of Sukracharya, from whom he had learned the art of reviving a man who has died untimely. This art, called Mritta Sanjeevani, was especially used during wartime. When there was a war, soldiers would certainly die untimely. But if a soldier's body was intact, he could be brought to life again by this art of Mritta Sanjeevani. This art was known to Sukracharya and many others, and Kacha, the son of Brihaspati, became Sukracharya's student to learn it. Devayani desired to have Kacha as her husband, but Kacha, out of regard for Sukracharya, looked upon the guru's daughter as a respectable superior and therefore refused to marry her. Devayani angrily cursed Kacha by saying that although he had learned the art of Mritta Sanjeevani from her father, it would be useless. When cursed in this way, Kacha retaliated by cursing Devayani never to have a husband who was a Brahmin. Because Devayani, like Yayati, who was a Kshatriya, she requested him to accept her as his bona fide wife. Although this would be Pratiloma Vibaha, a marriage between the daughter of a high family and the son of a lower family, she explained that this arrangement was made by Providence. And the verse reads once again, Yadidam kupa magnaya bhavato darshanam mama nabrahmano me bhavita hastagraho mahabhuja kachasya bhar hashpat yasya shapad yam asapam pura. Because of falling in the well, I met you. Indeed, this has been arranged by Providence. After I cursed Kacha, the son of the learned scholar Brihaspati, he cursed me by saying that I would not have a Brahmin for a husband. Therefore, O mighty armed one, there is no possibility of my becoming the wife of a Brahmin. Jnana timarandasya jnanjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmaisi yuve namaha. First of all, I would like to say it's wonderful being back in this haven of Alachua with all the wonderful Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. It is really an honor to be in your presence, and you realize how much you miss good association when you are out of it. Of course, there are nice Vaishnavas up where we are right now, but you all should be very grateful for the sanctuary that Srila Prabhupada has given here at the lotus feet of Shishi Radhasham Sundar, Krishna Balaram, and Shishi Gurnitai. So on behalf of my family, I thank you very much for being a fine example of Vaishnav community for the world. And so in this particular verse, we have a kind of description of the history that Nartak Gopal so nicely relayed to us the other morning about the interaction between Devayani and Kacha, and the result. I won't go over it again because she did such a nice job in being specific about it. But we could see the two things that I got out of this is the fact that respect is an integral part of civilized culture. The word respect in and of itself means, it comes from the root word, the Latin root word spect. Therefore you have spectacles and spectacular and all in the different words that the root of spect means to see, that we get in the English language. So respect, as we all know, rehash and so many different things, it means to look again or to see it again, to take special consideration. So respect is a very important part of civilized culture, in particular Vaishnav culture, to look again. It means, you know, from our perspective, it means to look at a situation not how it immediately impacts you, because we may take things in a particular way, but to look at it again and to look at it carefully and with a great degree of sensitivity. And also it means to develop a kind of vision of others, particularly amongst Vaishnavas, because we know it's such a detrimental thing for our devotional creeper to be critical of Vaishnavas, to be fault-finding. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in the Bhakti Lok, he talks about things that are detrimental. It's actually Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction, and he gives us a kind of an elaborate description of all the items which are detrimental to one's devotional service. And so he describes that prajalpa, different ways of talking which have negative connotation, is so detrimental to devotional service. And he talks about fault finding and gossiping and criticizing, etc. There's actually three C's that we have to watch out for, and that's to criticize, to complain, and to compare. You have to be very careful about falling into that mindset, criticizing others, complaining about our situation or others, and comparing our situation. We are who we are individually, and we have to, with faith, understand that we're under the guidance of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotee. So in this way, such an integral part of culture, civilized culture, is to be respectful. And we see here another integral part of culture, civilized culture, is respect, but also we see that there is a kind of a sensitivity to one's own inherent tendency. mentioned this a little bit the other morning, that when we talk about this, Prabhupada mentioned about how women like to use harsh words against each other or whatever. The other term would be cat fight or whatever, you know, whatever you may say. And Narottaka jokingly said, I'm to defend the women here. But it's not a question. Prabhupada's purports are not to defend a gender or not, but it's to actually go into our own heart and to look at our own situation and to apply it to our own particular situation. And it's not a question of a gender bashing, but it's a question of, within our own heart, what are my weaknesses? What are my tendencies? And if I can pinpoint my tendencies, it's like half the battle to conquering a disease is to diagnose what the disease is. So the acharyas give us wonderful insights into character, conditioned character, and also pure character. And we are meant to take this and to apply it to ourselves. So that kind of sensitivity, that kind of honesty, allows us to advance in our Krishna consciousness. Because if we continually place ourselves in a situation that may cause us to gravitate towards the weakness that is there, the debility that we may possess in our own individual character, then what will happen? It'll become a repetition, a repeat of the same kind of activity that'll hinder our advancement in Krishna consciousness. And after all, no matter who we are, no matter what station of life we're in, we're mother, we're father, we're children, we're sons, we're daughters, we're friends, no matter what station of life we're in, ultimately when we come to the path of the Bhagavad Marg, the path of devotional service, our goal in life is to advance in Krishna consciousness, is to be able to purify our hearts in such a way that we're able to meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. The word here, darshanam means meeting. So from that perspective, there was meeting between Devayani and Yayati arranged by Providence. But we have darshan every morning, which means we are given the opportunity to meet with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. So in this way, this kind of sensitivity is very important for us as devotees who are aspiring to come to the path of pure devotional service. And we see in this relationship, Prabhupada mentions pratiloma vivaha, or the marriage of a woman who is of a higher caste to a man of a lower caste. Or we have the other, anuloma, where the man of a higher caste marries a woman of a lower caste. So this is mentioned because of that sensitivity to tendencies, our innate tendencies. If someone is Brahmin or Brahminical by nature, then there's going to be certain inclinations that are there, that one possesses, a certain kind of perspective. And there again, we get back to the root word spec, to see. So perspective means that we as an individual have a certain vision about life and life around us. So it gives us these kinds of innate tendencies that we possess. It gives us a perspective on life. And what does that also mean? It means that when certain things happen to us, then according to our perspective, we react in a different way. We react accordingly, according to our perspective, according to our tendencies. That's why we have the Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, but we also, in Ayurveda, we also have someone who's Vata or Pitta or Kapha, and within those categories or the mixture of those categories, it indicates tendency. If someone is a Vata, they have one kind of tendency. They're prone to, they usually have sharp intelligence, but they're prone to criticism. If one is Pitta predominant, then they have a tendency to towards anger. All these different indicators from a psychophysical level are there in the Vedas, whether it comes to us by virtue of the Acharya's analysis of the conditioned nature, or it comes to us through Ayurveda, or it comes to us through astrology, however. And we are to take this very seriously in terms of our tendencies, and to honestly look within our heart, what is my tendency? What if I'm placed in this particular situation, how do I react? And what does that reaction, how does that affect me, that reaction, and how does it affect those that are around me? So this kind of sensitivity, whether one is determined to be brahminical or kshatriya-like or whatever the case may be, it simply indicates, you know, what our tendencies are going to be. Now, due to the process of Krishna consciousness, these tendencies can become purified. There can be healthy perspective due to these tendencies, but there can also be an unhealthy tendency. Like if one is kshatriya by nature, which means, you know, has a strength, a courage, a generosity, all the things that Krishna described, but they can also be overly passionate, and they can be critical or aggressive, or, you know, there's an unhealthy side to a nature as well as a healthy side. If you read any of the descriptions of personality types in the Enneagram, there's nine personality types, and within that category of nine, there's three divisions. There's the unhealthy, the kind of slightly diseased, and the diseased. And it gives you indications that if you have this particular nature, if you're in an unhealthy condition, then you will take the innate tendencies that are there, and it will be the cause of downfall and be the cause of us having a kind of a side to our character that will get us in trouble spiritually, in relationships, etc. So we see, according to the Vedas, these tendencies are there, and we should pay close attention to it. That's why in relationships, in marriage, why is there involvement of parents in terms of the Vedic conception of marriage? It's because you have another perspective coming into it. What was it, William James, I believe, says, when two people walk into the room, there are actually six people present. How you see yourself, how the person that you're meeting sees you, and how you really are. So there's six different perspectives, and you get it. You see yourself in one way, another person may see yourself in a whole entirely different way. So it's those kinds of workings, you know, in terms of relationships, and that's why having another perspective, and I forget who was mentioning it the other morning, but they were talking about how there is no involvement or no care or no consideration in terms of relationships now, and you know, even within the devotee community, no consideration about that. So it's meant for our benefit, and that's why we take shelter of guru, both diksha and shiksha, because they can see our real nature and engage us accordingly. In terms of the Vedic perspective of marriage, we take shelter of parents who have witnessed our nature as we are growing up. We are busy creating our own perspective, our own bubble, our own mirror, how we see ourselves or how we want to see ourselves. But others see us in a different light. And that's why it's always a good sign if we are willing to take advice, if we are willing to be intelligent and to develop a loving relationship with others, because within the exchange of loving relationship, according to Rupa Goswami, we give gifts, receive gifts, we take prasadam and give prasadam, and we also speak our mind in confidence, and we hear in confidence. It's a very significant point Rupa Goswami makes about loving exchanges amongst Vaishnavas, because we take shelter of others and we get their opinion. We kind of understand from a more objective perspective, another perspective about ourselves, about our character, about our nature. And it helps. It just helps. It helps us to understand where I'm going, you know, what I'm doing, and what how I may react to this particular situation. If I'm angry by nature, then, you know, I have to be very careful that I don't allow that anger to swell up in my heart and be the cause of some kind of offense. In Prarthana by Narottam Das Thakur, he makes a one-line statement that when I read it just hit me like a ton of bricks. He just says, anger spoils everything. Anger spoils everything. So therefore, I should engage, then the next series of verses is, therefore I should engage my anger, my lust, my greed, all of these different qualities that I may possess in my conditioned heart at the lotus feet of the Lord. Just like he uses the example of Hanuman and other examples of using anger in Krishna's service. Angry if someone defames Guru or defames the Vaishnavas or whatever the case may be. So this kind of honesty, this kind of perspective, honest perspective, which is clarified by taking shelter in those that you trust and those that you have a loving relationship with and those that you feel are honest, it could help us very, very, very intimately, very dearly in terms of our development in our Krishna consciousness. So that's why we see in the civilized society, we have this respect, we have this kind of sensitivity to one's character, one's nature. We have all of these things. Another point I wanted to mention is the fact that we get little glimmers in Shastra about powers that come. So this power of Mrita Sanjeevani, about to be able to raise one from the dead as long as their body is intact. There's actually 18 mystic cities that are there. 8 of them are primary cities, and they are Anima, Lagima, Mahima, Prapti, Ishita, Vashita, Prakamya, and Kamabhyasita. These are 8 mystic cities, and oftentimes yogis practice austerities so that they can obtain some kind of mystic power. So in the case of Kaccha, on behalf of the demigods, he wanted to gain this power, this ability to raise the dead. So we see how powerful this Vedic culture actually is. By uttering mantra, you can bring someone back from the dead. Even Prabhupada mentions to this day, by virtue of mantra, someone could be cured from being bitten by a poisonous snake. So there's all kinds of insights into the power of sound vibration, that what the power of sound vibration can actually do. So here Prabhupada mentions this mrita, death, sanjeevana, bringing someone back from death. It can actually be done. And in the mystic cities, we have the anima, which means one can manipulate the material energy in such a way that they can shrink themselves to be smaller than the smallest. Just like Hanuman could do all of these things. He can make himself very, very small and infiltrate, or he can make himself larger than a mountain. He could do all of these things. Anima, Mahima. Mahima, that also means larger or heavier. Just like when Krishna was taken from his mother, by his mother, by Trinavarta. And Krishna was hanging on to Trinavarta, and Trinavarta, you girls know this story about Trinavarta? Yes? That's what I thought. And what happened? What happened with Trinavarta? What was he? Was he a snowstorm demon? No? What was he? Whirlwind demon, right? And he stole Krishna, right? And Krishna was hanging on to him for dear life, right? And he had him around the neck. And all of a sudden, you ever see sometimes some of the guys in the city that wear these big chains and medallions? They're like 40 pounds. So Krishna was around like that medallion around Trinavarta's neck. And all of a sudden, Trinavarta felt this. He had an albatross around his neck. And actually, it was Krishna. And Krishna exercised, because he's Yogeshwara. He's the master of all mystic powers. So he exercised this mystic city of Mahima, and he became heavier than the heaviest, and Trinavarta couldn't stay in the air anymore. And he was like choking and feeling the weight, and he came crashing down, and Krishna killed him in that way. So that's Mahima city. Lagima city means lighter than the lightest. That means a yogi can walk on water by virtue of Lagima city. They can actually walk. Have you walked on water in our time before? No? You can actually walk on water. You can make yourself lighter than like a helium balloon. You know, if a helium balloon will lay down, but as soon as you add the element of helium, then it blows up, and then it can fly into the sky. It becomes lighter than air. So lagimai means you can do like that. And there was a story about one yogi. One young boy, he told his father, who was a boatman, and he said, "Father, I want to become a yogi. I'm going to the Himalayas, and I'm going to learn mystic siddhis." So his father said, "Oh, so be it." And the boy left. And after many, many years, the boy went to the Himalayas. He practiced severe austerities in a cave, and he developed mystic siddhis. And then after some years, his father now was still rowing boats across the Ganges. And his father saw in the distance this really skinny yogi with long hair and a beard. And the yogi came closer and closer. And then he said, the bowman was looking. His eyes were weak at this point. And the yogi came and he said, "Father, it is me, your son. I have returned. I have developed so many yogic powers." And the father said, "You know, really didn't concern him." So he said, oh, very, very nice. He said, "Watch, Father." And so his son began to walk across the water, walk across the Ganges. And then he came back, he walked across the Ganges. And the father looked at him and he said, "You were gone all these years so that you could do that?" He said, "For a few pice, I could have rowed you across the river. You didn't need to develop that." So these kinds of mystic cities, you know, Prabhupada minimizes the manipulation of the material energy, not so significant. For a devotee, what is significant and what is the real mystic power is that we can have the good sense to come in contact with a pure devotee, allow that bhakti lata bija within the heart, within the core of our heart, to be planted, and then to water it through the practice of bhakti Krishna consciousness. So in this way, lagima siddhis there, mahima prapti means acquisition. Sometimes yogis in India, they're very proud of the fact that they can sit in one place and they could pull something out of your ear, give you some vibhuti, or pull a sandesh out of your ear. Prabhupada tells that story about a Bengali a magician who went to see a so-called mystic yogi. And when he sat in front of the yogi pulled a sandesh out of his ear. And then the magician said, "Oh, very nice." And then he pulled a rascal out of the yogi's ear. So he said, "A very nice power that you have. I know the tricks." And then there's Ishita Siddhi, which means you can have the ability to create and destroy universes. Vashita, you can bring someone under your control. And Prakamya, you can create wonderful things within the scope of material nature. And kamavayasita is you can contradict nature. You can create things which actually contradict nature. So in this way, we could see the potency of Vedic culture in following the principles of austerity, all of these different things that is inherent within our culture in order to gain power or potency, and the real power, the real potency that we want to do in terms of our Krishna consciousness is to develop control of our senses so that we can check our senses from being attracted away from the lotus feet of Krishna at any moment. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Does anyone have any question or comment they would like to ask? Yes, Vivekram.
You touch a very important subject there, the mystic cities. Mm-hmm. Actually, in the early ages, the beings are actually concerned with that more than like scientific advancement. In other words, like for diseases, and so they would just do it with mantras, rather than now you take someone, you know, in the hospital or cut them and whatever. So even the scientists, they couldn't realize this, and you know, they tend to see the ancients has been barbaric, kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't understand that these people are using a lot of mystic, they had a lot of mystic powers.
Yeah.
And they used to use that to do a lot of different things. And yeah, they were focused more on that rather than the so-called scientific powers now that we have, you know. So that was interesting.
Yeah, mystic cities are very powerful. Prabhupada tells the story of one German scientist who became a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he started reading the Vedic literatures, he came to India, and he when he heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, this is real guru. He said, you know, these development, these yogis who have these mystic cities, he said, you know, scientists are able to drill through mountains, enter into stone, do so many different things, take thousands of pounds of metal and float it on water or fly it in the air. So they're already, you know, having some mystic potency there. Who wants that? You know, what is the importance of that? And therefore he became initiated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and sought out the path of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, Madan Mohan?
Well, a little bit in the defense of that. It wasn't
in defense of what?
The mystic diversion in Krishna consciousness. When the conditioned soul, he's bewildered. He doesn't understand what's going on here. It's all just happening, and he wants to try to figure out what's going on. So as he starts to figure out what's going on, he sees it's the sense enjoyment that keeps one plugged into this external realm. So when he performs austerity, he's taking his consciousness out of the external realm, and he's starting to see the mechanism behind it, you know, the technical parts that he works, which is, in one sense, understanding a little bit of the how Krishna's material energy is working. And as he goes, each one of these perfections, it's taking him a little bit closer to try to understand what's going on here. And these persons, ultimately, they come to Vasudeva Sarvamiti. They come to understand that it's actually by Krishna, and then it's not so much the how everything is working. They turn and ask, why is it working like this? Why has Krishna set up this material energy? And then that's when they can change from the impersonal manipulators of material energy, and as the false ego becomes now the focus of why he's being influenced by this, then he can come to the point. But it's just another ignorance in this world, trying to figure out what's going on and being getting the rest of the subtler elements of pride and I look what I can do. And because after all, the false ego wants to be the controller. So like everybody else is doing it, they're just subtly looking, and they become the controller of the next levels down, or in the programming, so to speak, of how the material energy works. But ultimately, they come to push everyone else.
Yeah. The prophet said one danger about the this mystic is that ultimately they should be meditating on Ishwara within the heart. But if the false ego remains, then they misidentify the Ishwara within the heart to be themselves. So if that's, you know, there's always dangers on these paths. That's why, you know, it's recommended that if one has the good fortune of coming in contact with a pure devotee, the pure devotee can point out what the pitfalls on the path, the progressive path, are. And, you know, that's part of, I was saying, you know, in terms of developing relationships with other Vaishnavas on different levels, loving relationships on different levels, and particularly shiksha, because, you know, there's even not what to speak, the mystic yogis, what to speak in our own lives, you know, in our development of our own Krishna consciousness. If we are reticent to hear others or inquire about our own heart and, you know, what we may be exhibiting that we are blinded to, then, you know, we can stay entrenched in habits that will be detrimental to our spiritual life. So we have to become expert at recognizing the pitfalls on our own individual path of Krishna consciousness, and see, you know, what am I doing? Because we become creatures of habit, right? There's a famous saying, watch your thoughts become words. Watch your words become action. Watch your action becomes habit. Watch your habits, because your habits become your character. So it means to be kind of sensitive to that, because in that chain reaction, if something gravitates towards being habit, it's very difficult to get rid of bad habits. that are detrimental in our spiritual advancement. Very difficult. Yes, Patarajani.
In the verse, Devayani speaks in a way that she's saying that this whole arrangement seems to be happening by a superior arrangement or power, providence, she called it.
Mm-hmm.
As devotees, we may see that different situations happen in our lives, and we may not call it providence, but we may call it, oh, it seems like it's Krishna's arrangement. And we will think that this was intended for our spiritual advancement, and we may go toward that. But how can we learn to know the difference between something that may be such a thing, maybe Krishna's arrangement for us, and something that really isn't? But we're being tested. We're being sort of challenged, you know, in our determination or perseverance.
Well, Maya is also Krishna's energy, so it can be that way also. Yeah, it's a very good point, because that's why I say that relationships are very important. Loving Rupa Goswami, it's not by chance that he places within his nectar of instruction that particular verse, those six items of loving exchange, particularly to hear from someone in confidence, and I do underscore the word confidence, in confidence. And in confidence means two things. One, in confidence means privacy, and confidence means that you're sure that this person is not going to post it on Facebook. So that's what in confidence actually means. And when we have that kind of person that we can speak to and reveal our mind, and they can help us, actually having another perspective, from someone that you respect, from someone that you feel is advanced in Krishna consciousness, and you respect, and having that kind of relationship, we're very, very fortunate. And we should cultivate those relationships, and we should use those relationships to help us make a determination in our life if something is going on, whether it is Krishna's arrangement or whether Maya's allurement or what it is. Is it actually beneficial? I mean, things do happen to us, and you know, it's beyond our control, and ultimately we should have the faith and the confidence. What confidence means, it's interesting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, confidence does not mean arrogance, but confidence means freedom from doubt. Freedom from doubt. And what kinds of things do we doubt, you know, within the purview of our Krishna consciousness? Well, we doubt the Vedic literature, that the Vedic literatures are the source of the absolute truth. We doubt Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the source of all rasas, as the Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, as our best friend, understanding the nature of the living entity, the conditioned state of the living entity can be conditioned. We become free from that kind of doubt. We develop our confidence, and then we're able to move forward with confidence. So it's in confidence means that in revealing your mind to someone that you feel that they will give you an objective, or as objective as can be, Krishna conscious observation, a perspective that will help you to determine whether this is truly Krishna's arrangement or Krishna's external energy arrangement in terms of how it will affect your life. So my take on what your question is, I think we have to develop these relationships, and through the medium of these relationships, we are able to come up with the best perspective possible and act upon it in that way. Does that answer your question? Madan?
Asked you as a friend and revealed to you in confidence the same situation about what just took place, about the providence and getting the hand up out of the well, what would you have told her?
I would have told her it's providence because it's in the Bhagavatam. look, it's right here in black and white, Devyani. So, Shukadeva Goswami wouldn't tell Maharaj Parikrit something that wasn't true. So. But in that particular, you know, in that particular situation, Yayati was an extremely qualified person, and Devyani also a qualified lady. So, you know, to bring it to reality, or at least our reality, when people ask about relationships like that, you know, it's. I always recommend that you do try to take a step back, because we know in marriage and that kind of serious commitment that you know there's a drug, you know, that the body produces a drug. A kind of an endorphine or whatever that it lasts for 18 months. The psychologists have found that drug that your body produces of exhilaration in terms of relationship lasts for 18 months. And after that 18 months, the kind of exhilaration of a new relationship wears off, and then reality sets in. So, you know, I think as a society, Krishna conscious society, we should really kind of develop, I don't know, maybe the Grihastha Vision team is doing that, I'm not sure, I'm not in tune with that, but a kind of reality check about what it means to be in a relationship with another person, and all the financial responsibilities, the parenting responsibilities, the compatibility issue, and all these different things that go into the reality of a relationship, your ultimate goal, because if you marry a Vaishya, then you know a Vaishya is exhilarated by making money. And if you're a Brahmin or you know, you have some other tendency that's there and that doesn't thrill you so much, but that becomes the focus of the relationship, there could be problems. Or if you're a Brahmin and you want to sit and read all day and your wife is saying, get out and earn some money, you know, because there's an Ayurvedic physician, her name is Gopi Warrior, she's from England. And she said there's a fine line between sattvagun and tamagun. Because sattvagun, a person who's in sattvagun, it has not a lot, they don't have a lot of ambition. But why don't they have a lot of ambition? Because they see with knowledge that the nature of this material world, if I get involved, I'll be implicated, things will become complicated, I'll be distracted from the real path, the real goal in life. Tamagun, there's no ambition either. But why? Because being influenced by ignorance, I just want, you know, I can't see beyond my own realm, what I want, what I need. Everything is me-centered. So, you know, these kinds of things are there. We have to really be really careful in relationships. So as parents, it's a good, you know, a good thing to be aware of and to discuss and try to hint to your child. But it's nice to create an environment within the home where this kind of discussion is there, a kind of open discussion about one's character, one's nature, and you know, give some insight based on experience. But I think it's really an important aspect of our community development, so to speak, is to develop this kind of honesty. So Devyani, it was purely providence, because Yadu took birth through this arrangement. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.